Now, as we go through the scriptures, you want to see all these words. I tried to put these words next to the scriptures so that you can see what type of fool we're talking about. Now, the thing about this individual, he or she is stupid, not in a intellectual or mental sense, but this person is stupid morally. They make absolutely dumb, stupid decisions.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Dr. Glaze's study today is titled, What the Fool Believes. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of What the Fool Believes.
But this morning, as we come to the Word of God, I want to speak to you on this subject. It was something that, you know, again, this is kind of related to the topic that I just now got finished explaining, and that was this whole technological thing in the internet. And the message that I want to speak to you on this morning mainly is rooted in the book of Proverbs, and it's entitled, What the Fool Believes. There was a song out years ago talking about what the fool believes. And, you know, we want to look at our lives and make sure that we are not making foolish decisions. We want to make sure that we are not following after the ways that the scripture talks about, the ways of the fool. And, you know, all of us at some point in time, I don't know about you, but I know me, I can speak for myself, that I've made some foolish decisions. I've made some foolish choices. And some of them have come back to harm me, and others, you know, the Lord has been gracious and allow me to be able to continue on without any embarrassment or without any detrimental consequences. But you know, we got to be discerning as Christians in the decisions that we make. So when we come to the message this morning, what I'd like to do, because I know it, as I share the message, one thing that it's going to be very easy to do, it's going to be very easy for you to start thinking about somebody else and say, man, that person sure is a fool. You know, I mean, honestly, you know, because even as I was putting the message together, people can't. No, I'm just kidding. You know, so, you know, but what I like to do, and I can say this, that one of the things that I did, that as I was meditating on this message, that I just looked at myself and I said, now, Bill, you know, where do you come in all this? You know, is there anything in this message that touches your life? And, you know, if there is, you know, you need to deal with it because, you know, God wants us to be wise and he wants us to make decisions that glorify him. Now, there is one time in the Bible that it says it's all right to be a fool. And Paul talked about that. Paul said we are fools for Christ. And so sometimes if, you know, we are doing things that look strange to the world, that the world is not in agreement with, the reason is because they don't see us as being wise according to the world standards, but according to the Bible and according to God and according to living for Christ, we can be fools for Christ. And in the eyes of the world, you know, we will look like fools, but in the eyes of God, you know, we will have acceptance before him. So what the fool believes this morning is what we want to talk about. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, and Lord, in my mind and in my heart, there's one prayer that's permeating in my spirit, and it's that it's not my mother, it's not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of this message. And I pray, Father, that this would be all of our attitudes today, that we would realize that it's us, because at any point in time, any of us could make a foolish decision that can not only harm ourselves, our ministry, but even harm others. And so, Lord, we pray that you would just guide and direct us today as we open up your word, and we invite the congregation to come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine. Come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. Feed us, Lord, from your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I was looking at some information on this one website on the internet, and it was entitled Foolish bank robbers. And it went on to give a list of people who tried to rob a bank that just did some foolish things. For instance, there was the one guy who wrote a note saying that he was sticking up the bank, and on the back of it was an envelope, or he put it, wrote on the back of an envelope that had his return address on it. Now, how foolish can you be? Or there was the man who went to rob a bank, and when he got up to the teller, he put his mask on, which was one of these baggies or trash bags. He pulled it over his head and forgot to cut eye holes in it. Yeah. How foolish can you be? And I just heard, I think it was yesterday or the day before, about this guy who robbed three banks. Some of y'all might have heard about it. He robbed three banks, and he had a taxi cab driver riding him from bank to bank. And finally, he got to the third bank, and the taxi cab driver realized what was going on, and he called the police. You know, how foolish can you be? Or, you know, there was the guy who had his hand in his pocket, and he walked up to another guy, and he said, stick him up, this is a robbery. And he turned around, and the guy took his hand out of his pocket, and he was holding his finger out like that. And he said, where's your gun? He said, well, I was going to buy one after I got some money. So, you know, how foolish can you be? And as foolish as those seem to be, you know, we have to keep ourselves in check, because if we're not careful, we can find ourselves making some foolish decisions. As we look at the scriptures in the Hebrew, there are several different words for the term fool. The first one, as I went through these, I asked myself the question, Lord, does this touch my life in any way? Are any of these true of me? The first Hebrew word is the word peti. And this is one who is easily led, who is gullible, or who is silly. The basic idea behind this word peti means to be open, spacious, or wide. And it relates to a person who is immature or simple-minded. It's the person who is open to all type of enticements because they have not developed the discernment between what is right or what is wrong. This is the type of individual that you can sell oceanfront property to in Nebraska, and they'll believe you. And there's a whole lot of people that fall under this category. You know, people who are in relationships, who let the other person just tell them anything, and they fall for it, hook, line, sinker, fisherman, boat, and the river. Why? Because they are gullible. They are easily led. And Proverbs talks about this, talks about a young man who was simple-minded and who believed things that people told him. Then there is the word kasil. And this word refers to one who is foolish because they are stubborn, pig-headed, or headstrong. This is the type of person that will see a hole with a triangle and have some blocks and will take a square block and try to fit it into the triangle. And they are determined that they're going to get it in there. Well, no matter how hard you try, you are not going to get a square block into the shape of a triangle. So this person is foolish. And not only are they foolish, but they persist in their foolishness. They are stubborn, pig-headed, and headstrong, and nobody can say to them, well, look, there's a block there that's shaped like a triangle. Why don't you take the triangle block and put it in there, and it'll fit? But they don't want to do that because they want to do it their way. You know, we're going to talk about, when we get into the scripture, the fool, it says that he does what's right in his own eyes, that he wants to make things a certain way, and he does it the way that he sees it. The third Hebrew word is the word iwil. And this is an Arabic term, and it means thick. It is used in the Bible to refer to one who is thick-brained or stupid. Now, as we go through the scriptures, you want to see all these words. I tried to put these words next to the scriptures so that you can see what type of fool we're talking about. Now, the thing about this individual, he or she is stupid, not in a intellectual or mental sense, but this person is stupid morally. They make absolutely dumb, stupid decisions. Now, I know that when I make a statement like this, there'll be people who don't agree with it, and some people will say, well, why did he say that? But I'm going to say this. You know, this past week, you know, we've all seen on television a young lady who was a Disney star, who young people all over the world grew up admiring, following her, had the utmost respect for her. And she got on a national stage, which was broadcast basically around the world, had a finger that she was holding up, and I don't need to go on to any detail to say what she started to do on stage. Now, to me, I know, again, people will be critical and say, well, you know, that's art, that's entertainment. But, you know, at what point do we come to the realization that we are role models and that, you know, you got to act a certain way and do a certain thing? But this young lady is what I will call an e-will, and that is a fool, because this is foolishness that's rooted in moral perversion. And there's a whole lot of people that are fools in this sense. Look at the number of politicians that have got caught going to madams, that have had a lady on the side, that have been in all type of degrading situations and said degrading things and done degrading things toward women. Just look at our culture today. You see it all around you. You may have even been a victim of some of this. Hopefully you are not a perpetrator of it, but you might have been a victim. Well, you know, the bottom line is that this person is an e-will. They are what the scripture calls a fool, all right? The fourth definition that we see, or Hebrew word that we see, is the word Nabal, some people say. And this is one who is closed-minded and not open to reason. You remember the story in the Old Testament about David and how he wanted a vineyard, and you know, he was willing to pay whatever it took, and he ran into this guy named Nabal. And Nabal was just a fool. He wouldn't let David, you know, have access to it, and he just was very adamant and very rude about it. And his name was Nabal, and he ended up dying. And his wife said he died just like his name is. His name means fool, and he died a fool. And so there are many people who are closed-minded and not open to reason, that they will get something in their mind, and no matter how much you talk to them, no matter how much you say, and they could be dead wrong in what they believe, but they're going to continue to travel that path because you know why? They are a Nabal. They are a fool. And so that is another Hebrew word that we see here. And then the last one is a lease. And this refers to a person who takes all these other ones to another level and to another height, because this person begins to mock others foolishly, and they have an intense hatred for correction. This is what the scripture sometimes defines as a scoffer or a scorner. And this is another type of fool. So these are the Hebrew words for fool. Now let's look at the scripture and let's see what the fool believes. What does the fool believe? First of all, the fool believes everything that people tells him. I mean, this person is just a simple-minded individual. And as you can see, the word in Proverbs 14:15 is the word pati. It says the simple believes every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. You know, I praise God for people who do not come and sit here Sunday after Sunday and just accept everything that I say. That I would hope when you leave here, if there's something that I said that didn't sit with you right, that you go home and study it. And that you say, Pastor, now look, you said such and such a thing, and I'm not sure how that lines up. You know, can we talk about that? Now, you know, because know, we need to not be simple-minded. We need to not believe everything that people tell us. I like to have fun with my grandkids. And so I was with one of my granddaughters at the Chinese restaurant. And, you know, we got finished eating, and we opened up our fortune cookies. And I had two fortune cookies, and I opened up one for my granddaughter. And I said, oh, this is what your fortune says, that you will be riding in a silver car today. And she said, my mother's car is silver. Then I said, oh, here goes another one for you. I said, tomorrow you will go into a big building with a lot of rooms. She said, yeah, I'm going to school tomorrow. She said, wow, Pop, how did that know all that? And my wife said, Bill, you better straighten that thing out. She said, you better straighten it out. And I said, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. Because she believed me. She believed what I was saying. And you know, there are some people that are like that, right? You know, they just are simple-minded. They and I'm not saying my granddaughter, so she's just a young child, you know, 6 years old at the time. So she trusted her pop-pop. You know, whatever pop-pop said, you know, she believed. But you know, some of us, man, you know, we swallow stuff like that. And you know, we are just simple-minded. And the scripture, you know, calls us to, you know, exercise discernment. It calls us to exercise wisdom. You know, you look at some people and the decisions that they make, and the thing that you want to say, how can you be so simple? You know, what went on, and we've all said this about somebody, what went on in your reasoning process to bring you to this point? How did you come to make a decision like that? And if you read the book of Proverbs, Proverbs has a lot to say about wisdom. And the reason that people make simple decisions is because they are not trying to exercise any wisdom at all. If you would just exercise a half an ounce of wisdom, some of the decisions that simple people make, they wouldn't make, because it just would make absolutely no sense to you. So first of all, the fool believes everything that people tell him. Second, the fool believes he does not have to exercise wisdom in making the choices that he makes. Proverbs 22 and verse 3 says this, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself from it. So what a wise man looks down the road, a wise man thinks about the ramifications of the choices. The wise man examines the situation. The wise man studies a matter. The wise man gives a lot of attention, a lot of study, a lot of meditation to decisions that he's going to make or she's going to make. And what the wise man does, the scripture says, hides himself, makes sure that he doesn't give in to a bad choice, makes sure that he doesn't set himself up for failure. But what does the fool do? But the simple, the fool, the petit, pass by and they're punished. They make foolish choices, and as a result of the choice that they make, they are punished. Now, there was a man that all of us know. If you'll put that up there, he has some advice for us. And this is what he said to the fool who makes foolish decisions. Next one. He said, I pity the fool. Why did he say, I pity the fool? Because he knows that the fool is putting himself in a position where he's going to get harmed. He's going to get hurt. Mr. T was going to light him up. He was going to do some harm to him. And so he said, I pity the fool. And so I'm saying that what Solomon is saying here in Proverbs 22, I pity the fool who sees evil and just goes on past it. I pity the fool who makes wrong choices. I pity the fool who makes bad decisions. And you know, if you think about some of the decisions that we have to make, you know, do we just make them arbitrarily, or do we give time and thought and meditation to the decisions that we're going to make? You know, that's why they say, if you're going to buy anything, especially a big ticket item, that you know, go to the store and you look at it, and then you go step away from it for a day or two before you make a decision. Because in the process of doing that, you know, you may get some more insight. You may find that you have a change of heart about that situation. And so that's why they don't recommend a lot of impulse buying. And so you have to be careful when making decisions that you exercise wisdom when you make a decision. Thirdly, the fool believes in persisting in foolishness. He believes in persisting in foolishness. And I have three scriptures that I want to read, and they are very powerful scriptures that talk about the fool. The first one is Proverbs 17:10, and listen to what it says. A reproof entereth into a wise man more than 100 stripes into a fool. That if you are wise and somebody tells you something that's right, or somebody tells you something that's wise, then you will receive it. It enters into you. But what does a fool do? A fool has a lot of stripes. That word stripes means that they are beaten, that they have stripes on their back. Why? Because they have made foolish decisions, and they continue to make foolish decisions. Now, we had a saying, and I'm sure that all of us growing up in somebody's home have heard this at some point in time. And if you forgive me and excuse me for my French, but I'm going to tell you like the way it was told me, a hard head makes a soft behind. That's basically what he's saying right there, is that if you got a hard head, you're going to have many stripes across your back, hundreds of stripes. And for every wrong decision that a fool makes, that's a stripe across his back. One bad decision, okay? Another one. Shh. Another one. Shh. Another one. Shh. And what if the Lord allowed the stripes of bad decisions that we made to show up on our body? Man, some of us would be filled with stripes, right? Because of all the foolish decisions. And the fact is that we didn't learn after a couple times. The fool persists in making bad decisions over and over and over again. A second scripture that he gives us to show how the fool persists in foolishness is Proverbs 26 and verse 11. It says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. When are you going to learn? Why you keep going back? Man, that's a mess. You made a decision over here, and it was a mess. It was a stinky, filthy mess. You made that decision. Why do you keep on making similar decisions and you don't learn anything? The fool persists in foolishness. And then the last one is Proverbs 27 and verse 22. And it says, though thou should bray a fool in mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Now, you know, that's kind of complicated there in the King James. And, you know, it's talking about mortar, and it's talking about a pestle and what it did. You know, you beat the wheat in the mortar and pestle and ground it into fine grain. So what I did, I tried to make it very simple, and I went to the Message. And Eugene Peterson, in his translation, let me take that back, not translation, his paraphrase of the Bible, he says this. This is his rendition of Proverbs 27, verse 22.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of What the Fool Believes. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, What the Fool Believes, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request What the Fool Believes. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request What the Fool Believes. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.